There's a shape on the ground of lines, like a maze, a hedge. Let me see if I can describe it. Two lines. So something I probably would have to draw. It's kind of like a house within a house with no roof, no top bit of the roof. There's some spirals moving slowly counterclockwise. Sense of an eye directly in front of me, looking at me, trying to calm me down, trying to lower my energy. Guy writing at a desk. It's an older gentleman. He's writing with a feather. Again, it's similar to an earlier thing. He's in a room. His desk is angled towards him. The camera's moving around him. He has hair tied back, white hair tied back. Very similar to the old guy Dracula in the Gary Oldman movie, but not quite that. There's something almost alien and not necessarily demonic, but something not human about him, supernatural about him. He's writing down a piece of paper. Movement around him is kind of making me a bit seasick. It's going left and right in circles. So okay, so there is a character who I assume is the Horn God, but his head is just the skull of a deer, and he's in the corner. He's leaning against like a shelf. There's blackness behind him of a door. Seems very casual. He's got a long black cloak on. The air in my actual room has dropped. It's quite intense. It's a huge sense of presence. It's like he's got his arms folded. As if to say, so we're here, finally. And either him or me, someone says, shall we begin? And why not? Let's do this. A hand pushing up from the ground like a zombie. It's a clean hand. There is the most intense feeling of being looked, watched, as if there's a crowd of people around me. Hunkered down, looking at me in real life. So the hands pulling out of, there's a guy coming out from the underground or from the soil, and he's walking onto the pitch, football pitch, stadium. That's at night, there's lights. He's very like John Bender, end of the Breakfast Club, but walking in the opposite direction. I can only see behind him, I can't see what he looks like, but it definitely has this John Bender feel. But he's more as if it's a couple of years later and he's done a bit of maturing, grown up. And he's like almost like he's a coach or an adult, or, you know, like it's a different film or something, but it's like life has happened to him. But, and he's kind of like cheering on or shouting at the people on the pitch. It's him on a train, bus. He's listening to something on headphones. He keeps saying he's wearing a red hat. I suppose he's doing that in the last thing as well. He's his head against the window. He's looking kind of mournfully, or he's not happy. He's like almost depressed, or like life didn't work out for him or something. He's just going through emotions. Unsatisfied. Someone sits down beside him, a very, very tall man. That's in some way also an insect. The guy lifts his kind of mantis hand and lifts his hat, okay, as if to say hello to him. John Bender character's kind of looking at him, moves over slightly, kind of a bit annoyed, you know, that he's taken up maybe too much of the seat or something like that, and trying to, you know, make a scene, or not make a scene, but make acknowledgement that you're, you know, I'm moving off my part of the seat that you've just taken. But this mantis guy with the hat and that dark close coat is just sitting there. And he throws his hat at me, and I'm off that bus, train, or whatever it was. And I can see it from outside. There's a train. It's darting through a city, above a city, like the track is above the city. It's night time. I'm moving away, following this hat. Beside me now is Christopher Reeve, Superman. Above the city. He's very, a bit, like, while he looks like him, he's like a cardboard cut out of him, though. He's very rigid. He's to my right. And that kind of passes away. I'm kind of looking, there's some lights down below me, something like as if it's a parliament building or something important. I cannot over-describe how intense the feeling of being looked at feels. Right now. So I'm coming down to this lit up area, and from the distance the light was kind of orange, and as I get closer it remains orange. The street's lit and the whole thing is kind of colourless other than this orange light. I'm down at street level. It's busy, there's cars, it's cobbled street, even the road where the cars are. I'm walking down a hill or slope down. There's the sense that there's, I'm also seeing the street from hundreds of years ago, or there's people, you know, 18th century clothes to get the hats, the suits, cane. There's a horse carriage coming by, but there's also like a modern car parked on the side of the road. It's like the overlapping times. There's someone in the room there. It feels like someone's screaming right in front of my face. I'm very unnerved, but I'm, you know, brave. I'll stick with it. So I'm walking down, or going down this kind of a slope. A grey alien makes an appearance. He's just there in the background. Kind of spits something out of me, or throws something out of his hand at me. Almost like, you know, it's like Spider-Man spraying a web, but something like that. Something's coming out of, like, as if he's spraying me with something as I pass. Some sort of fluid. I get down to the end and I'm round to a different part of the city. There's stone, trees in the stones. Like a very kind of city thing. There's a park to the left. On the right hand side across the road, there's like office buildings, shops. Feels kind of quite, you know, Italian or European, or some sort of European city. Very aware of my hands at the moment. So I'm gonna walk down to the left. Again, everything's in orange lights, very weird sounds in the office around me. There's an insect guy sitting on a bench, like a huge fly. He's wearing like a brown coat, like a John Constantine coat. Just walk past him. Walking down, a couple of people passing me. Quite nervous. I'm reminded of a visualization I used to have, which was started on the street and then went down into the basement into a room. And it seems like this is the same street. So I'm kind of looking for that, I suppose. That basement steps down to a basement. But I don't know, it's something saying that's not what I should be doing, you know. Standing in the street, kind of looking around, waiting for something to happen. And so I was like, is there anyone here who can talk to me, who can guide me, who can tell me what's going on, what this is about, what I should be doing? There's a face of like an old mummy, like an old person who's been preserved, dead body, but like well preserved, but you know, the shrunkenness and the skull. And then the death card from the top tarot is there. I'm holding it in my hand now, sitting down, lying down on stairs in the street. I'm looking at it. I'm kind of lying back, my left hand holding it, my right hand kind of prop me up a bit in these stairs. And there's people coming around. There's like a wall in front of me with an opening. And there's loads of people walking around, walking towards me. They're all wearing black. Like lots of them. And they're sort of surrounding me now. I can't really make out the faces. Some of the top hats, some of them are wearing dresses. Some are just wearing t-shirts and jeans. I feel like they're all in the room at me now as well. I'm just kind of standing now. So I ask, who are you? Oh, I'm very nervous. It's both like the inner vision and the room have become the same thing. As if I'm right there. I suppose I am kind of lying in the same position as I am in the vision. And I feel I am totally surrounded by people in this room there. These same people in black all around me. Who are you? And I'm fully present in the room. Kind of a sense of we are the ancestors, but that feels like a lie. Not a lie, but that doesn't feel the truth. It feels like something I'm saying rather than they're saying. Like that feels what it's appropriate that I would put, that's a label I would put on this, but it's not what they are. And they're all walking away now. Someone's throwing stuff on the ground. One guy threw a card on the ground. Someone picking it up. It's the two hearts. They're all walking away, and I'm kind of seeing it from the ground level. Like I'm lifting up the card, it's the Queen of Hearts, it's another one. And very close, it's Six of Diamonds, a Seven of Diamonds. Like I'm very close to the ground, like as if I'm sneaking a look at the cards. And the Horn God's right behind me now. Has a staff. Big. There's a guy with a white hood. Black cloak with a white hood. He has a flaming torch. Also like a staff. Ganesh now is here as well. He's over in the corner. He's against the wall. The protector's here. There's someone else here. Someone just off the distance. A guy in a suit. Smoking a cigarette. Well-dressed, suave. So this is the guy who's been behind it all. There's a bit of a John Constantine feel, but it's not John Constantine. It's something else. He says, you know who it is. I'm saying, I don't know who it is. I'll be honest. And he's kind of going in and out of the light, like there's blinding light on him, but it's kind of... Rather than oh, there's definitely someone in the room. Rather than illuminating him, he is kind of distorts his features or blanks his features, as if it's been overexposed. Everything is feeling overexposed, like almost like an explosion has gone off, like a nuclear warhead has gone off. There's something far too bright, so you can see the shadows behind people, but no features. Wave of panic has come over me. Someone flying through the air towards me. It's like a Japanese guy, like a samurai or something. Quite intense emotions of panic. Just kind of faces. Oh, I'm still in this square of place. It's going in and out, but I know that's where I'm situated. Laughing faces, distorted faces, everything has that quality of being either pure white or pure black. Like everything's overexposed and can't see any details. Or as if they're coming in through the shadows or coming in, you know, as if the features are being made out of sand, you know that? Or you know those things where you push your hand through or your face through and it's like a an ornament or something, but it leaves a mark. Very, very aware of things being close to me. As if people are leaning in very close into my actual space. So I pick up another card off the ground and it's kind of, the face of it has been pulled off slightly. Where it is the 10 of diamonds, but underneath it is a black and white jack. Maybe a joker. There's a rip, I'm ripping off the front of it and kind of, it's like ripping off a sticker off a book or something. I didn't get the whole thing, but revealed underneath it is like the debt card again, but from the Tarot de Maasai. So the 10 of diamonds has been disguised, or the debt card has been disguised as the 10 of diamonds. Or the 10 of diamonds is really the debt card, or something. And I flung it up, the card up into the air. And I got caught by someone who's wearing like a Phoenician mask. It's like the Marquis, is what he's saying. It's the Marquis. Or the Marquis, whatever that way you pronounce it. He's got velvet clothes on, a hat, this Phoenician mask. There's a carriage behind him. He's directly in front of me, down the street of it. So I walk, when I walk down towards, I get up, walking towards him. It's as if I'm walking towards a waterfall. Or something being poured into a... like milk being poured into a barrel or something. Again, wave of panic, waves of almost nausea there. It's like being on stage or something. Like, it's like standing up in front of the classroom, having to give a speech or something like that. It's like being watched by a load of people who are expecting something of you, or I don't know. Not quite that they don't like you, but so he hands me back the card, and it's an ace of spades. Oh, it's kind of like an upside down heart, actually, a black heart. So he spins it right round. He's holding it. He's gripped in his fingers, in all four fingers. He's holding it down. He's making me look at it. It's like a Rorschach. And he's bent down. He's kind of pulsing on his hips. He pulls out another card. And this one's torn and ripped and burnt. I can only see half of it. It's actually still kind of smouldering. I don't know what's on that card. Then he's left that, and then he's gone back and forth between these two cards. There's an acorn. It's turning into a microphone. I just sit down on the ground. Fall down. Hands behind me. Very oppressive kind of feeling of in the air. Someone's telling me to look in the room. Right, I can't see anything in the room. I am freaked. Shivers all down my body. That sense of someone walking on your grave or something like that. My whole, all the hairs of my body standing up. It doesn't feel like it's the end yet. Of a thing of the message or the end comes later, and like as if some the synchronicity or whatever, I'm gonna hear it later, or I'll know what it is later. It's not quite now, but well done for getting here. Proud of you. That's it for now. That was quite intense. Pretty cool though. Pretty groovy. Yeah, a big one. One of the big ones. Still shivers down my spine, or tingles down my spine, whatever. My hands are a bit numb as well. At the beginning of this, my cat came up and sat and lay between my legs. And I will tell you, quite glad he did that. Okay, that's it, folks. That's the end of the 30, scrying the 38ers. I wonder, does anyone actually get to the end and has listened to all of these? If you did, thanks for coming with me on these journeys. Worth doing yourself. Yeah. I'm a if I do get a message later, I'll leave it in the description below. I'm both really nervous, freaked out, and really excited, and kind of elated, but also a bit, I know, all the emotions at once right now. Yeah. It's always still exciting when the magic works, right?